All right, Luke chapter 10 is where I want you to turn in your Bibles here this morning. Luke chapter number 10, and that's where we'll be for the preaching of God's Word. Luke chapter number 10, and we'll look at verse 38 to 42. Now, we've been going through the book of Luke a little bit at a time, section by section. We began Luke chapter number 10 by seeing that the Lord Jesus sent out his apostles, and he sent out 70 of them and gave them instructions on preaching the kingdom. They came back with joy, realizing that even the devils were subject to them. And Jesus reminded them that their real joy should be that their names are written in heaven. And then the Lord Jesus himself rejoiced in the fact that the Father had revealed those things not to the wise and the prudent, but rather to babes, or in other words, those who were humble. And then we saw last week that there was a lawyer who came to Jesus and tempted him by trying to say basically that he had obeyed the law, and the only reason that anyone could question him was in the fact that there was a disagreement on who exactly is my neighbor. If I'm to love my neighbor as myself, who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus gave him the illustration of the Good Samaritan, and that really, the truth of the matter is, loving our neighbor as ourselves means loving all of those, our fellow human beings around us, that God allows us to cross paths with. We're to love them all, and that is how we fulfill that commandment. Now we find in verse 38 that the Bible tells us, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." I want to preach to you this morning a message that I've entitled, "Who Should I Emulate?" Who should I emulate? In this passage here, this narrative of what went on in Jesus' ministry, we find that as Jesus entered into a certain village, there was a woman there named Martha, and Martha decided that she was going to invite Jesus to her house and give him a place to stay while he was there, and so she invited him over, and I'm sure that there were many people that came with Jesus. Certainly his disciples would have come with him. And then there were obviously people in Martha's family that were there. Obviously, her sister Mary was there. And more than likely, there were other people from the village that came to Martha's house, and they were all just sitting around Jesus. Well, as you can imagine, the fact that there were people over meant that Martha had a lot of work to do, because if she was going to be a good hostess, she was going to have to provide food and drink for them, I'm sure. And she probably needed to make sure that they were comfortable and their feet were washed and all the different things that they would do in their culture in that day. And so there was a lot that would needed to be done by her. And so she was cumbered about much serving, the Bible says. And as she looked around, she realized that her sister, Mary, was nowhere to be found in all of the work. And isn't that often the way that it is with your siblings? Right, you're working hard and trying to get things done, and you look around and realize that your siblings are not there to help you. Many a teenager has realized that. Well, that was Martha's situation. So she went to Jesus, and she complained to Jesus and asked him why he didn't tell Mary, who was sitting at Jesus' feet, that she needed to help her sister Martha. And of course, Jesus said to Martha that she was careful and troubled about many things, but there was one thing that was needful. And Mary had chosen that one thing, and Jesus was not about to take it away from her. So I want to ask you this morning, which one of those people, Mary or Martha, should I emulate? Should you emulate? Which one should we pattern our life with Jesus after? Should we be the one that is constantly serving and giving to Jesus and meeting the needs that he has and those around him and his helpers? Or should we be like Mary, who is sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his words and not helping? Which one should we emulate? Which one should we pattern our life after? I want to share some thoughts with you about that, and I'll give you three don'ts in our message here this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll get into that. Dear Lord, it is always a privilege to stand behind this pulpit and to open up your word and preach to your people, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the privilege this morning that it is, even though, Lord, even though the people are having to watch via live stream rather than being in person, I thank you, Lord, that you're still faithful, and I thank you that it's still a privilege. Lord, would you give us all ears to hear? I know that this morning, for those sitting in their living room or wherever they are watching the service, Lord, I'm sure that there are distractions, whether it be the noises in the neighborhood around them, or maybe even their children, or maybe pets, or maybe just the fact that they're in their comfortable place. Lord, it's easy to be distracted. But Lord, I pray that somehow, by your great power and might, this morning, for all of us, you would arrest our attention, that those things would fade into the background, and that we would hear your voice. Lord, we know that this message here is important. This passage of Scripture was written by you, and it was preserved by you for these thousands of years so that we could learn from it. There is a reason you've allowed it to be in your Word. Would you help us to learn from it this morning? Now, Lord, would you give me the words to say, the ability to preach with power and authority, not of my own or for my own sake, but of you and for your sake? Lord, I pray that you would do that and then give all of us ears to hear. May Jesus Christ be glorified and magnified this morning. Would you please make sure that that happens? In his name we pray. Amen. So who should I emulate? Well, let me give you the first don't of the message here this morning. And let me say this, don't be Martha. Don't emulate Martha. Don't be like her. I think you kind of understand what the Bible is talking about with Martha, that she was really, when you think about it, neglecting the good part, the good thing that her sister Mary was not neglecting. Martha was, so don't be like her. Now, let's say a few good things about Martha. First of all, that she had taken the time to invite Jesus to her house. That's what the Bible tells us in verse 38. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Notice, it was not Mary that was receiving Jesus. It was Martha that was receiving Jesus. So let's not be too hard on Martha. We do need to say that she did invite Jesus, and that's a good thing. She received him into her house. Now, I cannot say this with all authority and certainty, but I would imagine that there were many people who would have liked to have Jesus over to their house. And I don't know why he would have been received into Martha's house and not others, but I'm going to guess that it's because she went to him and just boldly asked or invited him to be at her house, and he accepted. That is, again, just my opinion. But either way, we need to give Martha a little bit of a pat on the back and say she invited Jesus in, and that's a good thing. But the problem was is that she didn't take the time to reap the benefit of having Jesus over. You see, it was nice to have him in her home, but she was not enjoying the benefit that it was to have Jesus there. She was cumbered about much serving. Now, keep your place in Luke chapter 10 and turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 42. In Psalm 42, we have a very well-known passage of Scripture that really tells us what our heart ought to be like in regards to walking with the Lord. Psalm 42 in verse number 1, the Bible tells us there, as the heart, and that would be like a small version of a deer that lives in that area of the world, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Listen, that is how all of us ought to feel. That is the attitude and the heart that every one of us ought to have. We ought to be able to say with the psalmist that in the same way that this heart, this little deer there in the region there of Israel, as it pants after a water brook in a hot and dry and thirsty land, that we would pant or thirst after God. Let me ask you this morning this question, and I hope that the Holy Spirit will really sink this question down deep into your heart. Do you thirst after God? Do you thirst after God? And if not, then the reason is that you're filling your life with too many other things that are a cheap substitute for what the Bible would call the water of God's Word. Think about it for just a minute. If you take the average teenager today in the United States of America, and if you offer them a glass of water, they'll turn their nose up at it, and often it's because they're too busy drinking soda or Kool-Aid or juice or, you know, whatever else, some kind of sugary drink that is a cheap substitute for that which their body really wants and really craves, and that is water. And yet if you get a person that puts aside the soda and puts aside the juice and the Kool-Aid or the Gatorade or whatever other monster energy drink or whatever it is that people drink these days, and you give them water, they begin to actually crave it more and more and more and more, because it's really what your body wants, it's what your body desires. And you know, spiritually, God is like that. His presence, His Word, His voice to us is like water. And when we're not desiring water, it's actually a sign of the fact that we're unhealthy spiritually. Let me encourage you to ask yourself that question. Do I thirst after God? You see, if Martha had been thirsting after God in the right way, she would have no doubt invited Jesus into her home and then taken advantage of the opportunity to have Him there. But you see, don't be like Martha, because she was careful and troubled about many things. Notice what it says in Luke chapter number 10 and verse 39, I believe it is. Verse 40, I'm sorry. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, "Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha." Now notice this. "Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Now notice, Jesus pointed to the fact that there's only one thing that's needful. We might replace that word needful with necessary, but this is the one thing that you need. This is the one essential. There's one essential thing in life. And what Jesus said about Martha is she was careful, in other words, full of care, and she was troubled about many things. Now, there's one thing that was essential, one thing that was needful, but she was careful and she was encumbered about with many different things. She was troubled about it. Can you picture that word troubled in your mind? In other words, her spirit was not at rest about many things. Remember, when we go back to Psalm 42 and we think about a hart or a deer that's panting after the water brooks, is that deer, is it careful about something? Yes. It's careful about, I've got to get water. Is it troubled about the fact that it needs water? Yes. And all of its energies are focused on that one thing. There's one important thing to that deer, and that is getting water that is necessary for itself. Now, go back now to Martha and think about, was she cumbered about and was she troubled and careful about the one needful thing? No, she was careful and troubled about this thing over here and that thing over there. And I can just imagine, and again, I'm putting words in her mouth or in her mind here, but I think it's probably right to say that she was worried about what Jesus would think of her and her home and whether or not everything was neat and orderly and put away just right and all the rest. And she was worried about what the neighbors would think and whether or not she had done the right thing by inviting Jesus in and what people would think of her and whether or not everything was a success and all of that. She was careful and troubled about many things. Now, friends, let me say to you this morning, in no uncertain terms, if you are full of care and you're troubled about anything other than walking with God, then you are not in God's will. If you are full of care and you're troubled about many things, then you're out of God's will. When you lay your head on your pillow at night, are you careful and troubled about anything other than just your walk with God and whether or not you met with God that day? The sad fact of the matter is, many of us, when we lay our head on our pillow at night, we're full of care and we're troubled about everything except whether or not we walked with God in that day. Many of us have gone days without reading God's word, and we don't even really think about that. We've not spent any real time in prayer other than maybe just to ask a cheap blessing on the meal that we're about to eat and asking God to bless the food to our bodies, and that's about as far as we've gotten. And that's all we've done in days or perhaps weeks or even months. And yet when we lay our head on our pillow, our concern is not with the fact that we haven't met with God. Our concern is over politics or over money or over relationships or this thing or that thing. Friends, our priorities are wrong, just like Martha's were wrong. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Again, you're going to want to keep your place in Luke 11, but turn to Philippians chapter number 4. We want to look at Philippians chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Boy, that's no uncertain terms, is it? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. May I remind you that in verse 5, when it talks about moderation, it doesn't just mean that you only eat the proper amount and you get the right amount of sleep and you're balanced in your life. That's not really what it means by let your moderation be known unto all men. May I remind you that the word moderation means a great fluctuation in feeling or emotions. That's the whole context of this chapter. That our moderation, the fact that we do not get overly excessive on a high when things go well, and we certainly never go into the depths of despair when things don't go well. We as Christians ought to have moderation, that we're on a steady and an even keel. Why? Because God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether our candidate gets in and gets elected or not, whether the stock market does well or not, whether we're healthy or whether we're on our sick bed, whether there's money in the bank or whether the collectors are after us, that God is the same, therefore we are on an even keel. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful. In other words, full of care for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. By the way, that's only when we obey verse 6. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But what I want you to see there is when Martha was careful and troubled about many things, she was out of God's will. That is not God's will, wasn't for her, and it's not God's will for you. Don't be like Martha, neglecting the good part. Did she bring Jesus in? Yes. Good job, Martha. Did she enjoy and reap the benefits of having Jesus in her home? No. Why? She was careful and troubled about many things, neglecting the one important thing. There's another reason that you and I should not be like Martha, and that is that she was judgmental of others. Look again at Luke 10 and verse number 40, okay? But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Martha looked at her sister Mary and said, she's not helping. And looked at Jesus and said, don't you even care that my sister is a lazy bum? That she's left me to serve alone, that I'm doing all this work, and she's left me to serve all by myself? Jesus, do you not even care? Here's Martha judging her sister Mary and looking down on her because she wasn't fulfilling the role that Martha thought that she should. Now, friends, that's a temptation for you and me as well. The temptation for you and me, especially if we are people that are careful and troubled about many things. If we're people that have a tendency to stay busy and like to get active, and some people are just a little bit more this way than others, where you want to take the bull by the horns. If there's something that needs to be done, then, you know, I'm going to be the one to do it. I'm going to grab the bull by the horns and get it done. The danger of that is it's easy to look down at others that aren't that way and say they are not doing all that they should. And that's what Martha was doing. We need not be like her. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. What does the Bible tell us about this attitude of judging others for their lack of service? 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. That's a pretty strong statement. Paul said, doesn't matter to me if you think I'm faithful or not. It doesn't even matter if I think I'm faithful. Verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Paul was worried about what God thought. Verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and that one of you be puffed, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? In other words, what Paul said there is, the only thing I have to worry about is, have I been faithful to be a steward of what God has entrusted to my care? And then he said, listen, I'm not worried about whether you think I'm faithful. I'm not even worried about whether or not I think I'm faithful. I'm worried about whether or not God thinks I'm faithful. Then he puts it on the Corinthians level, all right? Knowing this, that I've learned this, Paul, about myself, what do you as Corinthians, or today, Madison Baptist Church, what should you learn from that? And that is this, judge nothing before the time. In other words, this, don't spend your time looking down at others and judging them and trying to determine whether or not they're the right kind of Christians that they ought to be or not. Now, that's hard for us to do, but that's what the Bible says. That's not to say that if your brother is in sin, you don't correct him or her. That is obviously another part of Scripture, that if we have a brother or sister that's walking in sin, that's not doing right, it is our job to admonish one another, to exhort one another, to provoke one another into love and good works. But that's not the same as judging them. Judging them is to stand in condemnation of them for their failure. And I ought never to do that. You ought never to do that. Why? Because the only judge is God. He knows the hearts. And when God judges, listen, he will judge rightly. All of us need to remember that this morning. When God judges, he will judge with justice. Guaranteed. And that ought to put all of us, whether we are more like Martha or more like Mary, that ought to put us into a little bit of fear. Because he's going to judge us according to truth. You cannot snow God. So don't be or don't emulate Martha. She neglected the good part. She was judgmental of others. We need to go back to Luke 10 and verse 38. Let's say this. Here's the second don't. Here's the second don't. Don't emulate a false version of Mary. Don't emulate a false version of Mary. So don't emulate Martha. Don't emulate a false version of Mary. What do you mean, Pastor, by a false version of Mary? Well, when we look at this passage of Scripture, it's obvious that those who are like Martha are those, again, that are always serving, they're doing things, they're involved in this thing, they're involved in that thing, but they're not worried about whether or not they're walking with God. Their religion is all wrapped up in what they do. Okay, that's obviously not something we should emulate. But there are those, and please hear me on this, please hear me, there are those who think they are like Mary, but they're not. They think that they are like Mary, that they've chosen that good part and it won't be taken away from them. And they're not like Martha. They're not cumbered about much serving. I'm just sitting at Jesus' feet and learning from him. And they're fooled into thinking that that's who they are or that's who they're emulating. And friends, let me encourage you, don't be or don't emulate a false version of Mary. Don't be one who neglects the work. Listen, was there work to do when Jesus was around? Yes, there was work to do. There were people there, and it takes work to host somebody in your home. There was work to do. Jesus didn't chew Martha out because she was working. He didn't even chew her out at all, in fact, but if there was any kind of reprimand toward her, it wasn't that she was working, it's that she was careful and troubled about that working. That's what consumed her. But friends, I also want you to understand, Jesus never scolded Mary for sitting at his feet and not working either. But let me encourage you with this. There is work that needs to be done. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and stay with me, okay? Don't let my statements cause you to get lost here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Please remember that. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, or thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Those verses tell us there is coming a day when our works will pass through the fire of God's judgment. And some things are going to burn up. Some are going to be left behind. What about your life? Now remember this. What it said in that verse is every man's work shall be made manifest. Listen, there are going to be some Christians. In fact, I'm going to be so bold as to say there will be many Christians that are going to stand before the Lord someday, and as their works pass through the fire, they are going to be ashamed as their work is made manifest. As it passes through the fire and the vast majority of their life burns up in the fire and there's nothing but a few things left. And perhaps nothing left. What about your life? Will there be anything left? Listen, that judgment day is coming soon. What are you doing for the Lord? Is your life taken up with just the American dream? Is your life taken up with just trying to get by and just trying to survive and trying to be as comfortable as you can? Or are you giving something to the Lord? Are you investing in eternity? Is it all about your comfort and what you can get and getting everything you can now and having everything as you want it to be right now? Or are you recognizing that someday your work will be made manifest? Because it will. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And verse 24, the Apostle Paul says again to these same Corinthians, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The Apostle Paul reminded the Corinthian Christians there that, listen, in a race, everybody's running. But it's not enough to run. There's only one that wins the prize. He's likening that to this Christian race, that not everybody who's running the Christian race is going to win a prize. There will be many who will just, they'll run the Christian race, but at the end of it, they'll have nothing. Friend, what about you? Don't be or don't emulate a false version of Mary. Just saying, well, I'm just sitting at Jesus' feet. I'm just learning from him. I'm not going to worry about the work. I know there's things that need to be done. I know there's volunteers that are needed for this. I know that the world is lost and dying and on its way to hell. I know that there's a need for missionaries to be sent out, and I know that there's this need and that need, but I'm just occupied sitting at Jesus' feet. Friend, don't be a false version of Mary. The false version of Mary not only neglects the work, the false version of Mary neglects the Savior. The false version of Mary neglects the Savior. You see, the reason Jesus didn't chew Mary out or disparage what she was doing in Luke chapter number 10 is because she was actually sitting at Jesus' feet, learning from him. There are many Christians today that not only are neglecting the work, but they're neglecting the Savior. They're neglecting the work and the Savior. You see, sitting at home and watching television is not sitting at Jesus' feet. Getting on the internet and even posting nice memes on Facebook that have Christian themes is not sitting at Jesus' feet. Spending time with your family and just enjoying yourself around the holidays is not sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, don't get me wrong, none of those things are wrong in and of themselves. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking that, well, I'm just like Mary. I'm just going to enjoy sitting at Jesus' feet. You see, the thing about Mary is she was actually sitting at Jesus' feet. And according to Luke chapter 10, she was hearing his words. Friends, if you're like Mary, if you're really sitting at Jesus' feet, then you're in this book. Then you're reading the Bible. Then you're spending time in prayer. Then you're spending time walking with God. It's not just lazy time. It's not just time in recreation. It's time laboring together with the Lord in his word and in prayer. That's the true version of Mary. Don't emulate a false version of Mary that neglects the work and the Savior. You see, you may fool other Christians, but as we already mentioned, you'll not fool the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we won't turn there just for time's sake, but it says that the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it speaks about the word of God in that light, in light of the judgment. In other words, this, when we stand before the Lord, his word is that sharp two-edged sword, and it'll be able to divide between the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. It'll make a perfect differentiation between what we did in truth and what was all false. God cannot be fooled by you or me. So that was the second don't. The first was don't emulate Martha. The second, don't emulate a false version of Mary. The third is, the truth is we should not or we don't want to emulate Mary or Martha. Here's the truth. We should do both, but not one to the exclusion of the other. You see, friends, you and I need to serve Christ, but not with care or trouble. We should rather do so with joy. Friends, you and I need to serve. There's work to be done, but we shouldn't do it full of care and full of worry, thinking, what do my brethren think of me? If I don't serve, they're going to be critical of me. If I don't serve, then this won't be perfect, or God won't be able to get along if I don't do it just right. No, it should never be full of care or worry. Rather, it should be serving with joy. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 20, if you would, please. Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. Acts 20 and verse 22. And this is the Apostle Paul as he's giving kind of a final charge to the elders of Ephesus. And he says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Now notice verse 24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." In other words, he was not careful and troubled. "So that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The Apostle Paul had the right balance. He was not Mary or Martha. The truth of the matter is, he sat at Jesus' feet. He learned from the Lord Jesus, and he also served. But he didn't serve in a way where he was careful and full of trouble and worried about what others thought of him. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 4. Rather, he served the Lord out of joy, just trying to fulfill the course that God had laid before him. And that's what you and I need to do. Serve the Lord, but not with care or trouble. And then lastly, let me say this. We need to enjoy Christ's presence, following him even in the work. Did you catch that? So in other words, the first one, serve Christ but not with care or trouble, that was, we want to follow in Martha's footsteps in the way that we serve, but not with care or trouble. But we also want to follow in Mary's footsteps in that we sit at the Lord Jesus' feet, but not sitting at his feet, never getting up and serving. You see, friends, the truth of the matter is we need to enjoy Christ's presence. We need to follow him. The truth of the matter is if we'll follow Jesus, he will lead us to the work. Because Jesus didn't stay in Martha's village. Jesus didn't stay in Martha's house. Jesus didn't stay sitting there doing nothing. This was a time of rest and relaxation in between the labor and the work. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't share with us what happened after this, but if Mary was truly following Jesus, sitting at his feet, learning from him, she would have been inclined to, when he got up to work, when he went back to the labor, that she would have gone with him in that labor, or at least stayed where she was, preaching the same message. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 26. And the whole point of this, as you turn to Matthew 26, is that you and I would realize that we need to sit at Jesus' feet. But if we are sitting at Jesus' feet, he will not cause us to be lazy, to be doing nothing, to just be sitting and talking about how much we love the Lord, because after all, we're not like those who just serve and their religion is all based on service. No, rather, if we truly love the Lord and are truly sitting at his feet, we will be prompted to serve. Matthew 26 and verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? You know the interesting thing about that? I brought up that passage of scripture here because you know what Jesus was wanting the disciples to do? To sit at his feet. Not literally, but to be with him. And the interesting thing about being with Jesus is sometimes people think being with Jesus means, oh, I just sit and, you know, I think flowery thoughts and I never have any labor. It's never a struggle. There's never any sweat or blood or tears that are involved in it. And, you know, I'm just one of those Christians that I just sit and learn at Jesus' feet. And I'm never in the labor, never concerned with things too much, etc. But the interesting thing about sitting at Jesus' feet is eventually you'll end up with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Eventually it leads to a place where there's a cross. Sitting at Jesus' feet means eventually I end up with him, suffering in the garden, watching with him. Now the disciples failed, you know the story. And we'll probably fail many times also. But the truth of the matter is, we should be like Mary, in that she followed the Lord Jesus sitting at his feet. But we should also be like Martha in that we serve. And the truth of the matter is, if we'll follow Jesus, if we'll sit at his feet, we'll follow him to those places of labor and those places of rest. Are you emulating the right ones? Truth of the matter is, don't emulate Mary or Martha. Emulate Jesus. Follow him. Listen to him. Hear his voice. Spend time with him. Love him. And serve with him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your word and the fact that you've shared this narrative with us of what went on in Mary and Martha's life there in their home. Lord, we thank you for Martha and her willingness to invite you into her home. We thank you for the example that she set for us there. But Lord, help us not to emulate her in being careful and troubled about many things, missing the one true thing, the one important thing of spending time with you. Lord, we thank you also for Mary and the example that she gave us of the fact that there is a need to really seek after that one thing, sitting at your feet. But Lord, help us never to be deluded into thinking that that's all Mary did, that she just sat there. That's all that we ever have to do is just sit and do nothing and just listen to your words. Lord, we know that as we sit and listen to you, there will come a time when you get up from the chair when you go back to the work and we're to follow you there. That path even leads to the garden where we need to sit with you and pray with you and watch with you and go through the tears and the agony and the suffering of that place. Lord, would you help us? Help us not to emulate Mary or Martha, but to emulate you. Lord, I thank you that you will. Now, Lord, would you please use this message in my life, in the lives of each individual Christian. And Lord, we thank you for our church. We pray, Lord, that you would very soon allow us to be able to meet in person again. And dear Lord, would you allow that this virus would pass from our society very quickly? Lord, we've been asking that for a long time, and we glorify you and we praise you, even though we have not seen what we would like, but we give you glory and praise. We know that your ways are higher than our ways. Now, Lord, would you help us to have a good afternoon, to honor you in all that we say and do, to meditate on these things, and Lord, help us to be able to have a good service tonight at 6 o'clock, and we thank you that you will, in Jesus' name. Amen.